Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. Thank you for joining us this week of, it's the end of November.
After Thanksgiving, this is sort of the, we'll call our black weekend. Because last week was black.
You're such a racist.
No, it's because last week was Black Friday, and then this weekend is black movie time, because there's no movies coming out except for...
And for the third week in a row, we have a special guest returning to us. We're so glad she came back.
You sound really insincere.
Just because
said
I brought cookies.
I was nervous that we scared her off last time,
and she's never going to come back to us.
A little bit. I took a couple weeks off, and I'm stronger now.
See, not only do we have you here, Kristen Dreyer Kramer from nightsandweekends.com, but you brought cookies. So instantly invited back for infinite amounts of shows.
I'm impressed with your use of food coloring. I hope that's food coloring.
We'll just say that it's food coloring.
It was green cookies.
They're green cookies.
And I ate them with no questions. I'm like, green cookies, awesome.
It's going to be like that Seinfeld episode where George drinks the tea and turns purple. Kevin's going to turn green about halfway through the show. But hey, that's going to be pretty awesome. But before Kevin turns green... And before we talk about movies, we're going to talk about all kinds of Oscar movies this week, since there's only one film that is coming out.
And they didn't show it to us.
Yes, we're going
to
talk about some Asian,
I'm the racist. Get out of this one.
No, it's some Asian, I'm trying to think of an appropriate way to say this.
Softcore?
Yes.
It's an Ang Lee movie without
gay people. It's an NC-17 flick. But before we get into all that...
It's sort of like Brokeback Mountain meets Crouching Tiger with no gays. Is that a good... Chris is the only
one
who saw it.
Your contingent was that appropriate? We'll appreciate that.
I suppose you could call it that.
Okay.
I'm sure you will.
Cool.
I already did.
Yep. So
I'm editing that out.
I'm sure some of you are offended already, and if you'd like
Welcome to this week's show.
If you are still with us, you can get a hold of us, fatguys@themovies.com. You can also get us on iTunes, at the iTunes store. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us with all of your feedback. At fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com.
I would have expected to come up with a better word than that because he thought about it.
And if you would like to call us and tell us how depraved we all are, 614-388-8735. Long distance charges do apply.
Okay.
And that's what I have. I'm actually done.
Okay.
For the whole week.
We can just go ahead
and start.
Thank you, Neil. Do you have any words of introduction, Kristen, to come back or not?
Well, I would just like to say that, you know, last week was Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And, you know, I kind of bulked up.
Oh, okay.
I had the turkey and I had the pie.
You had an entire turkey.
So I could come back here and be just a little bit fatter.
There you go.
Fair enough.
But unfortunately,
we appreciate the effort.
Still not a guy.
Yeah. You can stay here. Well, you got to go to like
Europe.
I don't think there's any amount of turkey that can do that.
No.
Yeah. Well, I
don't know.
Appreciate the effort on becoming fat. You failed miserably.
I took the neck out of a turkey once. That was, anyways.
I did that, actually.
That's gross.
It was bad.
What? Do people keep that? People keep that like.
You can actually see that online. It's called Two Kevins, One Turkey.
Okay. Yes, we're walking into dangerous territory now. We're going to change the show. If Kristen's on anymore, we're going to call it Two Fat Guys and One Chick at the Movies.
All right.
And then it'll still be appropriate when Dave Metzger comes in. So there we go. Sorry, Dave. Had to say.
Nice.
First,
we're
going to
talk about movies.
But now, let's talk about movies. There's only one movie coming out this week in wide release, and big surprise, was not screened for anybody, not even the father and mother of the director. It is Awake. It's a new thriller about anesthetic awareness, with Hayden Christensen finding himself awake and paralyzed during surgery.
Is it good to go?
Sleeping like a baby.
What? Am I supposed to be asleep right now?
Everyone ready to get started here?
I can still hear you.
Lit as I'll ever be.
Wait, something's wrong. Am I supposed to be able to still hear you?
What's the matter?
I don't know if I can do this.
Do not get paranoid. Just inject the heart. In an hour, he'll be dead and we'll be rich.
Wait. What?
No one knows. He'll be toes up on the slab downstairs.
Ugh. This movie sounds like it is its own version of anesthetic awareness.
Yes. I'm gonna go see this on Friday, and I'll be sitting here thinking, going, "Am I supposed to be awake during this? Am I supposed to feel this pain?"
It's almost like they
movie?
Set the trailer up for us. Like they were like, "Wow, they could just pick this one apart."
You know what? This is the thing. I said, I'm going to give it a preliminary suck because we must.
Well, yeah.
Being
well,
the fact that they didn't screen it.
That's what they get.
But it is also getting... But it might be okay because it has Jessica Alba in it, and she's always fun to watch.
She said it was good, so I'll believe her.
Yeah, oh, sure. Well. And like the trailer has like six shots of her naked back, so... It's not going to show anything else, but why not? At least those scenes are in there.
That is five more than we saw in Fantastic Four.
Exactly.
So that's an extra star for Kevin.
Yeah. Actually. And then you get to see Darth Vader himself getting traumatized on the operating table, and that's worth something.
James Earl Jones is in this movie?
No. No. Hayden Christensen acting, sort of.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Chewing the surgery table.
Awesome.
But I think we're all giving... Are we all giving preliminary sucks? We have to.
Huge suck.
Oh, definitely.
It's a rule.
Yeah. All right, well, the trailer sucks.
Yeah, the trailer was bad. Let's move on to Lust Caution. This is a 2.5-hour movie in Mandarin. What else do you need to know? Kristen's the only one who had the fortitude to actually see this. I tried to watch it last night and fell asleep.
You know, I was prepared for it. I invited Neil over. Yeah. And, you know, I said, bring the chips.
And he thought you said
it's not really a party movie, though.
No, it's, yes, I wouldn't expect it to be.
Yeah. No, it wasn't, actually.
So while we listen to Kristen's review, we're going to play, because I tried to do a trailer cut, but it's all in Mandarin, so they don't even have, there's not even sound effects, there's just music. So this is the trailer, the music from the trailer, while Kristen gives a review.
You ready?
And
there's so much pressure.
Go.
And go.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that, you know, there's so much controversy. Oh, this is great music.
Come on, what's it about?
Well, there's so much controversy over the NC-17 rating that it completely overshadows the whole movie.
Now, here's my big question, because I think anyone cares about this. Was the sex worth it? The heck with the story. No.
Wait, the sex that was had while watching the movie?
Yeah, that's right. You were alone.
I was.
Oh, you were alone. Fair enough.
Well, there you go. That's usually how it happens with me.
If I was having sex during this movie, would I have enjoyed it?
Probably not.
This isn't exactly bolero music.
It's not like Brokeback Mountain. I enjoyed that one.
You know, the thing about it is I don't understand the point.
Okay.
Because, you know, anybody who's going to want to watch this movie for the hardcore sex isn't going to want to sit through an hour and a half of subtitled Chinese to get to it.
Is it drawn out and boring?
Mandarin, sorry. Thanks, Neil.
Mandarin's Chinese. It's just a dialect.
Close enough.
Right.
Cantonese.
But anyone who really is going to appreciate a 2.5-hour movie about, you know, political espionage in 1930s China, you know, is kind of going to be put off a little bit by the sex scene. So, in the end, who really wants to see this? Apparently I did.
There you go.
I still do.
Well, you know, for me, even the positive reviews say it's kind of boring, so.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It is. And, you know, it's beautiful. You know, it's an Ang Lee movie, so it's very pretty. But in the end, yeah, it was kind of dull and emotionless.
Mm. All right, cool. Official grade.
Kind of sucks.
Awesome. With that, we're going to break. We shall return.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are going to be rolling into a couple other reviews since they didn't give us anything new necessarily to watch. We're going to deal with the movies that are in flyover country, kind of being rolled out here and there
slowly
in limited release. Some movies that are award consideration movies that we got screeners for, so we can watch
them. This is how we saw them. We have these cool little DVDs that say for your consideration.
Exactly. So we're going to start off with Juno, the story of a 16-year-old girl who gets pregnant and faces tough decisions on what to do about the baby.
What's the prognosis, Fertile Myrtle? Minus or plus?
There it is. Little pink plus sign is so unholy.
That ain't no Etch-a-Sketch. This is one doodle that can't be undid, Holmes Gillett.
I'm pregnant.
Who was the father?
It's Polly Bleeker.
Polly Bleeker? I didn't think he had it in him.
I know, right?
Did you see that coming?
Yeah, but I was hoping she was expelled or into hard drugs.
Or a DWI? Anything but this.
And there you have it, a very entertaining trailer. And I think you get a little bit of the humor.
Which is considerable in the movie.
Considerable. It comes from Jason Reitman. You'll remember he was the director of Thank You for Smoking, which was fantastic.
I love that one.
It also stars Ellen Page, who, if you saw Hard Candy, which is one of my favorite films of 2005, both of those two films were...
That's very close to your heart from personal experience.
Well, I mean, being a pedophile and all.
okay.
But I'll
now
tell
I have
you what,
ammunition for the rest
I'll
of
tell
the
you
show.
What's great. Great. I'll tell you what's great about Juno.
Okay, because it's a 60-year-old girl who's pregnant.
It is very smart.
Get
Stop.
You started it.
Here, Kevin, have a cookie.
Okay. Ooh, cookies. Green cookies.
It is very smart. It is very funny. It has a great cameo from Rainn Wilson. The performances are stellar. The music is great in the film. It was by far, so far, the best film I've seen all year.
The best?
Really?
Better than Transformers?
Better than Transformers.
He's like,
he almost said it.
Plotless entertainment value, Transformers beats everything. But as far as a good, wholesome, smart film, this is the same way I felt about Little Miss Sunshine last year, where there's nothing that I did not like about it, and I felt compelled to see it again quickly. I wanted to watch it again.
So you watched it in fast forward.
Since I've got the screener, I've watched it twice, and I saw it in theaters already. So I wanted to watch it the next day after watching the first time.
Wow.
Ellen Page is just absolutely fantastic.
Oh, this thing
doesn't
win awards.
She was fabulous.
I mean, seriously.
Well, and the thing is, what I'll say about this movie is I think your comparison to Little Miss Sunshine is very fair, because it gives that feel. It's a feel-good movie, and it's sweet, and it's adorable, and hilarious, incredibly well-acted. The other thing about it is I think it shows this reality of, it doesn't get preachy, and when you see it's a movie about a 16-year-old girl getting pregnant, you're like, oh my lord, get
in the
pew.
And they
get
do
on
deal
the,
with some issues. I mean, there's abortion, and
but they don't
but
preach
not,
about it, and it's a very
it's
realistic
done well, and it's
it.
Done
yeah.
lightly,
and it doesn't take an opinion either way, which I think is incredibly rare in movies nowadays. What do you think, Kristen?
You know, I was a little worried walking into it. I kind of thought that it would be just a movie about a pregnant Napoleon Dynamite, but
only a girl.
Right.
Okay.
But I was sitting next to Neil, and I totally agreed with him. It was a lot of fun. It's smart, and it's not completely outrageous, but it's funny.
Mm-hmm. And the dialogue, real sharp dialogue.
Yeah. Brilliant
it's
dialogue,
very
brilliant
different,
acting.
And it took me a little while to get used to it, but once I got into it, I was sold.
And I'm
going to
second something else that Neil said. The music's amazing in this movie, because it's so off-center, mm-hmm. yet very... Very, it's nostalgic at the same time. Yeah. It makes you feel kind of warm and fuzzy. It makes you feel like you're sitting in Eric Forman's basement, but you're not listening to ZZ Top and AC/DC. You're listening to other things, but nice. It's very warm and
or I smoking like pot.
I didn't say that. That's
I
you.
I inferred it.
Yeah, no, that's you.
Anyways.
Dude, I'm fat. The last awesome. Thing I'm going to need to do is smoke something. It's going to make me want to eat more.
So let's give Juno some grades. Kristen.
Rocks.
Rocks.
Kevin, I'm gonna give it a totally rocks. Absolutely,
that's not a grade. It's either rocks.
Rocks.
Or
it's rock. It rocks. Okay, just move on. Next movie.
He wanted to make his rocks better than ours. Yeah. Shame on him.
My rocks are.
The next
than
one
yours.
we're gonna blast through these next two because we don't have a whole lot of time. But I don't think we have a lot to say because so much to say about Juno. The next one is Margot at the Wedding. Nicole Kidman plays her family's busybody and causes emotional havoc prior to her sister's wedding.
Call him. What are you doing getting married to him? He's that guys we were rejecting when we were 16.
Who should I be with then?
I'll punch your sister.
Never hit anyone.
I have too.
Who?
Lots of people. You don't know them. They're not around because I punched them.
Is it nice to see Pauline?
I really like her.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
Margot told Claude something. I expressly told her in confidence.
It's one of those things.
Don't say anything, okay? Just be there for me silently.
Okay.
I didn't want you to feel like you had to marry me.
I don't think it.
Malcolm, what did I just say?
My review?
Your review, Neil.
Oh, well, at the end of Margot at the Wedding, I literally looked at it and went, well, I'm pretty sure it was good, but huh? It's one of those Noah Baumbach movies, so The Squid and the Whale.
See, I love
other movie.
The Squid and the Whale. I'm talking through a cookie here. I love The Squid and the Whale, but Margot at the Wedding, I just was sort of like indifferent
to. It's just
to.
So strange. I thought Jack Black was good, though. I'll give him that.
He was funny. You just like to see him naked.
I think Fair Nicole enough. Kidman was brilliant, though.
Really?
Yes. Absolutely brilliant.
I enjoyed
especially
her
that scene in the bedroom with her. That week.
It was a little bit. It was a little bit. She kind of stretched herself a little bit as far as you know, as one of her.
Like, again, that
I think she's really good at being evil and manipulative.
But she wasn't like downright evil. She was just
no,
sort of.
That's
she was
what makes her so good.
Yeah.
Because cool. She seems so sweet and innocent.
There you go. Okay. Quick reviews.
Kind of rocks.
I say kind of sucks.
I'm gonna say kind of rocks. There you go.
Just to annoy me.
Yep, moving okay. along.
We're not going to have time to play the clip for this. It's Into the Wild, Sean Penn's Oscar bait about a young man disillusioned with society who ventures into the wild to find himself. Is there anybody here? Real quick, Neil, what'd you think?
I'm glad he died at the end.
Thank you. Oh, and the guy in the crying game is really a girl.
I'm sorry for spoiling
Kristen,
it.
Kristen, what's your review?
Man, this was terrible.
I would have loved this movie if it was about an hour shorter and if I didn't hate the main character.
Wow. He's kind of a one of the, selfish Emil Hirsch, jerk. Not a bad actor, but terrible in this. And I will say this, Sean Penn, do not direct anymore. You are not that cool, man.
Well, the thing okay? is, I think if I had seen this movie in the theater and had to sit through the 2 hours and 20-some minutes, I would have hated it.
Ugh.
But the fact that I saw it at home with an Oscar screener, I could do a bunch of other things around the house, and I'm like,
help.
It was okay. Yeah. Right. And I do kind of, I identified a little bit with the character, and at least unlike The Graduate,
what,
I was
you've been
saying,
to Alaska
I've been to Alaska, but I didn't
bus.
Like face
did
a grizzly
bear
being skinny. Yes, I did.
Kill did me. You eat off the land?
Anyways, I say it totally sucks.
Kind of rocks.
Kind of sucks.
Fair enough. We will be back.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. Would you kiss me?
And welcome back to Back Guys at the Movies. We are rolling on through here.
I've completely derailed Neil in the break there. He's completely lost his footing, and I'm winning. Yeah. I just have to blow him over.
Wow. Anyways.
Here, Kevin, have a cookie.
Ooh.
We are going to talk about the box office like we always do here as we get into our internet-only segment.
Yeah.
And we'll start with last weekend's box office.
Why not? No, I want to start with April 4th. What was that box office
well,
like?
Kevin, May. I would believe you if Grindhouse. You said that you wanted to start with April 4th because this week's box office
had
results
a similar
come
result.
With a little bit of pain for you.
It's not that much pain. You make it sound like I was rooting
if
against
this movie. If we flash
back
to last week, we
you know
made
he
a deal.
He sounds like some guy trying to make a case representing himself in court. You're like Colin Ferguson. Like, remember, you're like... Did you really say this?
I believe what
he
you
has
said
the
was,
evidence.
If this Christmas, and this came after you said Enchanted was going to donkey punch the box office, mind you.
Well, I was absolutely accurate.
Which it
with
did.
You were accurate on that. It finished $34 million, number one. But coming in at number two is an obscure urban flick called This Christmas, which Kevin Carr, and I quote, said would not finish anywhere near the top five.
I didn't say near. I said it wouldn't be in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Can we play that back, please?
You're gonna.
You watch This Christmas crack the top five.
I just think there's too much. Stuff
I've
out
been right
there.
About.
I don't
these
think it's
before.
Gonna have wide enough of a release.
Yeah, it's not even 2000.
1700 theaters.
It's not even 2000.
No
way. The guy does not have a good track record. Crossover bombed.
Right.
Horribly bad. And I just don't think it's getting any buzz whatsoever. The Tyler Perry movies get buzz. This movie doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I'll do a push-up next week if I'll do one push-up if This Christmas cracks the
into
top five.
The top
not
five?
I'm, this
oh
is no God. This is no reflection on what I think of the movie. They actually even screened it, so I just don't think it's got enough.
I'm actually going to go on a campaign starting right now to get this into the top five this week.
Just to see me do a push-up?
Just to see Kevin do a push-up. So I believe you owe us one push-up.
I'll give you a push. I'll give you two push-ups for the fact that I predicted The Mist would come in like number two.
And it finished all the way down at number nine.
It barely... It was, in fact... When you're looking at the early predictions, it wasn't even making it in the top 10 with the
right.
early predictions.
I will say this, though. The Mist, it was such a tight top 10. The Mist was literally at $9 million. It was $2 million away from being in the top five.
It was still a complete
It went
fail.
From like $11 million at B-movie to $9 million at The Mist, and that is from number five to number nine. So it was
very
close.
If The Mist came in at number five, it's still a disappointment.
Right.
I mean, it was an expensive movie to make. It was a big deal. They're pumping the heck out of it.
Right.
And the Weinsteins so needed a hit. I think the only hits they've had this year are like 1408 and Sicko are the only movies.
But I will say this. If you're looking for a good kind of thriller to go see, it's a good movie.
I liked The Mist.
It is.
Go back. Listen to my room.
Yeah.
I liked the movie.
Yeah.
But, wow.
I'm still trying to recover, actually.
Not the movie to... put on Thanksgiving weekend, apparently.
No.
And they're following it up. The Weinsteins have this history. They released Cry Wolf on Christmas 2 years ago. Last year, they released Black Christmas on Christmas. They released The Mist on Thanksgiving, and they're releasing Awake the week after Thanksgiving. They've not released a horror movie in October yet.
Right.
So I don't think they've quite learned.
It would. The only thing that would be more fitting is if they were the studio behind Alien vs. Predator, which is releasing
on
Christmas.
I like Alien.
But then again,
I think that'll do better. It'll do better than The Mist did.
We'll see if you do push-ups at that point. But
I will say this. I will do another push-up if Alien versus Predator has a lower weekend box office than The Mist did.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, but you have to do your first push-up first.
What do you mean my first? I just have to do one. Or
yeah,
I have to do two?
It.
I'll do both.
No, you
I'll
have do to do
two.
One. I
okay.
want to see
Are
this.
You going to bring a microphone down here? Or just going to listen to me grunt?
I'll bring a microphone.
All right.
You do it over here.
I'll do
it.
Okay. I'm getting up. Taking my headset
I'll
off.
Bring my microphone here.
A rare moment of excitement where the fat guys actually move.
We're in the magical studio in the sky.
Can I just like do it or do I have to make noises?
I don't. You have to count.
Can he count to one?
Can you count to one? All right, we're going to... I guess this is going to be a good sound effect.
It's harder for me to get down on the ground than it
is. Yes,
actually.
I can tell.
Ugh. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
All right. One. Two. I did two for you there.
That
wow.
looks really... Aren't
you impressed?
My
I am so glad I was
my
here for this.
My legs hurt.
Throw up now.
Self-hooked.
I think I spent more... energy trying to get my belly around the microphone than I did actually doing the push-ups.
Fair enough. All right, cool.
There we go.
All right, let's talk.
Are
about,
you done gloating now?
Let's talk about this week. I know as our good friend Dave Metzger sits at home and listens to this, he is gloating. Big smile.
Oh, he is.
Oh, yeah, he's been gloating all week.
Yeah, he really? Was very happy about
but
this.
But I have to say, Dave didn't, like, defend this Christmas as it's...
We just knew that it was going to do well. That's the point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just I thought there were so many. This is the reason why I actually thought this Christmas wasn't going to do as well, because they just did. It seemed to me to be have the same flavor of Why Did I Get Married, but it didn't have Tyler Perry behind it. And like the biggest names in it were like Delroy Lindo, who's a great actor and he's done some good stuff, but he's not exactly your A-list lead that draws people. It's not like
right.
you had like Will Smith or somebody like that.
Right. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
So, and I didn't see it. So.
Cool. So talking about this weekend, we've got Enchanted is still your widest release. You got Fred Claus, Beowulf, B-Movie. These are all in order of widest to not so wide release. Awake is the widest new release at only 2,000
It's the only
theaters.
New release.
Well, no,
about?
There's a couple other ones.
Well, they're like limited.
Yeah.
The Savages.
Well, the Golden Compass sneaks are counted. 879 theaters.
You know, I will go as far to predict this. I'll bet you that the Golden Compass sneaks will do better than Awake.
Nice. Are you betting another push-up?
I will bet another push-up.
All right.
On that.
You heard it here.
And I do think Enchanted's going to take the weekend again.
I agree as well. I mean, what and, else is there? You know.
Yeah. There's
not only is it
Awake,
a big family Disney movie, but everybody I've talked to says it's really good.
I think it's going to be the same, sort of like the same stare. I mean, it's going to be. Enchanted, it's going to be this Christmas is number two, and then whatever the next ones are, and then somewhere around five or six is going to be Awake,
right?
If it's even in the top 10. I mean, I think that has an actual shot at completely missing the top 10,
right?
Being the, which would
that.
Be amazing, the only wide release, because we had like I think Captivity when that released, that didn't even make the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, it was either like 9 or 10 or off the top 10. So
fair enough. That's what we have.
I got push-ups galore.
A couple of reminders. We have on Film School Rejects the caption contest for the seasons of 24.
Season six.
We have three copies.
Yeah.
Of season six of 24 that we're giving away. We've gotten some great.
We'll be reading those next week.
There's some good stuff.
We're gonna read them off next week.
But there's still a chance, still time.
You
go
still,
out there.
I'll put a link in the show notes at fatguysthemovies.com. Also, we have a brand new contest that we'll be launching, and it's up by the time you hear this. But it is for The Simpsons on DVD. We have a few copies of
The Simpsons movie.
The
not,
Simpsons
not
movie.
A TV show.
I'm sorry. Yeah, The Simpsons movie on DVD. If you head to filmschoolrejects.com. There will be another contest. It's a pseudo caption contest because it is a picture of The Simpsons and a few guest stars.
Take a guess who?
You may recognize them from your favorite movie radio show ever. And all you have to do is tell us what's going to happen next in the photo. And the funniest one or the one we deem as the most entertaining
funniest
will win.
Three.
Or the funniest three, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. So, that said, we're going to go to break. When we come back, We're going to do our 10 worst Oscar bait movies of 2007.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We're going to cover the 10 worst Oscar bait movies of 2007.
10 worst. Kevin, nothing makes the your internet list, scream. So.
The more than I'm the 10 worst. Start.
Nothing. Yeah, 10 best. Nothing.
10 worst. People are all over
internet
it.
Gold.
And I will say, this is the point behind this list is every year there are a few movies, like 30, that come out. And there are films that just take themselves way too seriously.
And we have to watch them all in December.
It is what makes our jobs very difficult during December, because we watch a lot of good movies, great movies even, but then we have to see all these crappy flicks that aren't even, like, okay, so Transformers is not going
Ken
to win
with the Transformers, jeez!
Transformers is not going to win an Oscar, but at least it was entertaining.
It might win for special effects.
The movies
I don't know.
On
I think,
best writing.
I think some of the movies on this list may have been a little entertaining.
Some of them a little bit, but...
Because they're so bad.
Right.
And some just have
some
no
of these are just,
whatsoever.
It is tragic and wrong, and we call them Oscar bait because they are trying to win Oscars, and
they're
they don't stand a chance.
Well, and they're the things that you can tell the studios, like...
Oh, this is gonna
Oscar
be it.
Gold written all over it. Movies right. like All the King's Men.
Until they actually make it. And then they're like, ooh, guess not. Yeah. Put that in limited release in July.
And then what do we have? We have then January to look forward to.
Yes, can't wait for that. Yes.
Where we get movies like Codename the Cleaner.
Yeah, but this year we've got Rambo. So.
Well,
I mean,
this year
on.
We also have Step Up 2, as
Sweet.
Well as College Road Trip starring Martin
Ooh.
Lawrence
oh,
and
Oh, I
Raven.
Can't wait for
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, I can't wait for that
Which,
one.
If you notice on Film School Rejects, I got completely flamed for laying it on to Raven in one of my comments. She deserves
Any,
it.
Anytime you talk about anyone whose skin isn't white, Kevin, you're
no,
in trouble,
No, it's not
man.
That. She's just a talentless hack.
Anyway.
She can be on our show because she's
right,
fat.
All right, so number 10.
Cool. Go ahead, Kristen. You can start us off.
You hated
Number
this movie,
10
I think, more than
is August Rush.
That's right.
Robin Williams doing his best Bono impersonation.
Homeless Bono.
Homeless Bono.
Yes.
Taking advantage of children.
Really, really sappy flick.
Yes.
And this is one
Makes
of those
no
where it was almost good, but it wasn't.
And it could have been really good.
It could have been really good.
I hear, though, that Keri Russell, at the time, she quit the orchestra and went and worked at a diner. In the middle of nowhere when she was pregnant.
And it came out as Waitress, which is a movie that may actually win awards this year.
I don't know if that's going to... It might get nominated.
It would deserve it.
I think it does.
Yeah, it was
more okay. than this one.
But certainly. I think there might be a lot of... Because the funny thing about Waitress is... I think... Was it Adrienne Shelley?
Adrienne Shelley.
She might get some sympathy nominations.
Because she's dead.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all Neil's fault.
Wow.
All right. Number 9. Neil, I think this was yours.
Yes. Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. The movie that starts with a big... Huge oh. shot of Philip Seymour Hoffman's fat ass.
And it just goes downhill from there.
And what's the worst part about it is he's having sex with Marissa Tomei, and you don't know it's Marissa Tomei, and so you're trying not to look at it because
right.
there's a lot of Philip Seymour Hoffman obscuring the naked Marissa Tomei.
Right.
And then when you finally realize, you're like, oh, I wish I could have gone back and just blocked that. But then she's naked through the rest
exactly.
of the movie.
And yeah. I tell you what was the most annoying thing about this film is that the director, Sidney Lumet. How do you say that?
Sidney Lumet, I think.
Lumet. Yeah. The annoying cuts.
Oh, when he's like, we're going to go back in time and talk about somebody off
the movie jumps back and forth between all these various different time
and it
periods.
Does crazy
and,
techno music.
And it's crazy. Yeah, oh, my God. I wanted to jump up and dance
he's
by the
like,
end of it.
I refuse to do what Quentin Tarantino's been doing for years.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do something different.
So there you have it. Oh, Number yeah. 8.
Number 8. I'll do this one. Sicko.
Yes. Which, this one's probably going to win an Oscar, though.
You know, I don't think it will. I don't think it will because, you know what? He really, really, really pissed off the Academy with what he was pulling with Fahrenheit 9/11 to win an Oscar. Because he somehow, I forget exactly what he did, but he blocked it out of winning the best documentary, and so it was only eligible for best film, and then they didn't nominate it at all.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, which is what he did. And then Sicko... It didn't make as much of a buzz. It might be nominated, but I honestly think that something right. else will probably win.
I don't know. It's either this or a bunch of crappy
number 7
war documentaries. Which is number 7, all of the war and we'll throw political in there. Just the annoying over the head, club over the head with politics documentaries that made the list. I think we talked about this last week, that the final 15, none of the good documentaries made it. King of Kong, Air Guitar Nation, the entertaining, even the Ralph Nader documentary got screwed.
Yeah. So did The 11th Hour make it on that list?
No.
That
was, the 11th,
really?
The 11th Hour didn't make it.
That was just like they're trying to redo and
Shadow of the Moon didn't make it. All these great documentaries that did not make the final 15 for the Oscar.
The documentary of me shaving?
So, that didn't. Really? I mean, so number seven is all of the political and war-based documentaries that I'm sure we will hear nothing
and there are a lot of
but
them.
A lot about. And this is annoying.
Number six. Do you want to do this one, Kristen?
Well, I didn't see it, so I think you
should
do
I do
it?
Okay,
six.
Yeah, this one. Number six, yeah. Which I thought, honestly, when I saw this, I was like, this was going to be a shoo-in. But I don't think everyone's
best
taking
actress,
it. As best actress. This was going to be one of
best
those triple
screenplay.
Threats. Best screenplay, best director.
I was really upset about not seeing it.
Right.
I Know Who Killed Me. Yes. With Lindsay Lohan playing. Yes.
You know what I think derailed something. The campaign was all the DUIs and the jail time.
That and the set.
That really
that
hurt her this year.
She played a stripper who didn't take her clothes off.
Kind of like Norbit hurt Eddie Murphy last year.
Yeah, that's true. But I think the stripper not taking her clothes off, I think that's the same reason Grindhouse didn't do that well.
I agree. So that was kind of a...
Hollywood, learn your lesson. If you're going to have a woman, a hot actress, play a stripper,
have her show her
better
boobs.
Be naked.
There you go. This is back to rule number one of the fat guys
right.
movies.
Boobs make a better movie. Exactly. Number five,
number
Kristen.
Number five is The Brave One.
Yes.
With Jodie Foster taking herself way too seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have decided not to send out screeners for this movie.
Yeah, well, what's funny is that Warner Brothers sent out emails asking, hey, what did you think to all the critics? And then, like, 2 days later, they were like, actually, we're not even going to send you screeners.
Like, hours later.
Hours later, I'm
sorry. Yeah. Like, hours later.
Because what probably happened is all the critics came back and said, yeah, that one sucked.
They're like, everyone's like, I want to see I Am Legend. That's the only thing we care about.
Are we getting a screener for I Am Legend? Yeah, no.
No.
You didn't like Jodie Foster's movie. In fact, this was one of the movies that sparked that guy from Warner Brothers, the head of Warner Brothers.
That's right.
To say, we're not going to make any more movies with female leads. This was one of the two that he referenced, was this and The Invasion.
It's a good thing that Christian Bale isn't female, because that would have killed Batman.
Oh.
Number four is Things We Lost in the Fire with Halle Berry, Benicio del Toro, and David Duchovny.
There are so many movies on this list that I've fallen asleep.
I mean, this one,
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, I took a little nap during that one.
Oh, man. It was...
Should have been called Before the Devil
Knows You're
Dead.
There's really nothing to say other than, I mean, Things Halle Lost Berry, you got your Oscar. It's okay. Just take your clothes off.
Yeah. Do another swordfish.
Yeah,
come on.
You need to go back to the well here.
Yeah.
I watched the screener of this one, and when I was done, I just looked at my husband and said, well, that was dull.
Yeah. It was
that
like
was about it.
It was well acted. You know, the
Benicio
it was
del Toro
well.
Is amazing.
Yeah.
He is very good.
He's a really good addict.
Yeah. And David Duchovny.
But it's like
weird
last
enough
year.
He was searching for Bigfoot in the middle of it too.
Yeah.
He gets shot and he's like, oh,
one,
there's Bigfoot.
This one to me is like last year when we saw All the King's Men. When you go you leave All the King's Men and you're like, wow, that movie sucked, but hey, Sean Penn's a good actor.
Yeah.
This one you're like, wow, this movie sucks, but well, Benicio del Toro's a good actor.
Yeah.
But the movie sucks.
Well, I think I'll reiterate what I said originally with Things We Lost in the Fire. It made me want to be a heroin addict so I could escape.
I guess it was effective in some way, shape, or form.
Number three, because I have to do number two. The number two on the list. It's not. Yeah. I don't need to take a break and go. But Neil or Kristen, why don't you do number
you
two?
One,
you
had some. I got dibs on number one here.
All right, I got number.
Number
two.
Three is Into the Wild, which we discussed a little bit earlier.
A little bit, very little actually.
Yes.
Right. Anything else we'd like to say about it?
I'm still angry.
Yeah. This kills me. I mean, I will say this. There are a couple of good performances, like Hal Halbert's performance.
Is he
brilliant.
Really that? I mean, because I saw him, I'm like, wow, somebody fell out of the ugly tree.
Right. He's
hit every old branch.
He was
amazing
good.
Amazing in this movie.
And that was about it. I would have liked to see Marcia Gay Harden try and convert people into sadists. And
or hippies.
Kill people.
I would have liked to have seen Vince Vaughn, what actually... It looked like there was more interesting stuff in Vince Vaughn's past than what we were seeing
right,
in the movie.
Right, in the storyline.
Because he's like, you got me.
Yeah.
And you're
all
like,
of a sudden,
what happened?
Like,
what'd
you do?
I'll give you your last paycheck, and then we follow him to Alaska.
Right. So, you know, just it was dumb.
All right.
Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Number two. The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford in the movie that put Kevin to sleep very much, two or three times. Longest title of the year. It was the most boring, pretentious movie. Now, there's a lot of 2.5-hour monstrosities in the Oscar well this year. You know, Lust, Caution, and Into the Wild. But I think The Assassination of Jesse James just takes the cake as beautifully shot. A gorgeous-looking movie.
There are a lot of very beautiful pictures of snow.
But wow. Just boring. I will say this, and pretentious.
I hope it doesn't even get nominated for any Academy Awards, because if it does and they have to read that title 3 or 4 times, the show is going to be 12 hours long.
Well, you know what was funny? This is a complete aside. I remember watching the Golden Globe announcement of the nominations, and it was Jessica Biel got the ones for the comedy and musical, and Borat showed up like 4 times on it.
Yeah.
She had to say the whole thing, and by like the 3rd one, she's cracking up because she's trying to do it with a straight face, but she's like, Borat, culture learning to benefit glorious nation of content, and it's hysterical listening to her try and say that, like, because she just she did it, but wow. And
more
she's
power
hot.
To her. Yeah. And she's hot.
She should have done it naked, and I would have watched it a lot.
And number one, by far the single most annoyingly bad film.
The kind of movie that
should have been good. The kind of movie that
the studio's like, this is going to just rock.
Right. And the studio, of course, is United Artists, which is owned by single most annoying person in Hollywood, Tom Cruise.
And he runs it.
He's one of the co-chairs.
Because the Scientology has nothing to do with this studio yet.
Not yet.
But we're talking about Lions for Lambs, Robert Redford's flick.
And it was 90 minutes long, dude. That was so boring.
If I wanted to watch people talk for 2 hours straight,
you'd watch C-SPAN?
I would watch C-SPAN. Like, that's it. If I wanted to watch people talk about the war for 2 hours, I would go watch C-SPAN.
Or a war documentary.
I wish at this point that Al Gore would have been in this movie.
It
would have been more interesting.
You know what would have been made this movie better is it just randomly every 5 minutes they took some really ugly politico and had him run through in like pasties and a G-string. just to throw it off and say that's my artistic expression at the war.
Right.
Here comes Christopher Dodd.
Speaking of this, now I have to bring something up. Before we get, have you seen the Mike Huckabee ads with Chuck Norris?
No.
The Huck Chuck facts?
What?
I'm going to play this for you guys before we go. I will put a link to this in the show notes. If you go online and you search Mike Huckabee Chuck Norris, there is a Mike Huckabee presidential commercial that has Chuck Norris in it.
Is it going to make you say I Heart Huckabee after you're done?
It is hilarious.
Does
way
Chuck Norris
Lions
kill anybody in the ads?
In fact,
would that be awesome?
I could watch the Chuck Norris Mike Huckabee commercial over and over and over again for the entire running time of Lions for Lambs and be thoroughly entertained versus watching this movie.
Does like Chuck Norris come out there and say, vote for Mike Huckabee, and then like kill a homeless guy with his hands? That would be awesome.
Wow, we need to get Chuck Norris on our show. Yes. That's all you need to know.
He's going to have to phone in because he'll kill us.
Yes. If we're actually
he'll just reach into the phone and like snap our neck with his pinky finger.
Anyways, honorable mentions. Home of the Brave, which is not eligible this year, but it was
simply because they tried to do it last year.
It was so bad last year.
And this was so much fun.
Oh, God.
I wish
that was the most fun I had in a theater in December last year.
This was the movie that I actually regretted missing the screening for, because everyone, Kristen and everybody else, was like, this was hilarious because it was so bad. And I'm like, oh, I wish I had seen it. And then I talked to another unnamed critic who was like, shows we shouldn't be in Iraq. And I'm like, okay.
All right. Nice. And the last honorable mention is Knocked Up. And not because it's a bad movie,
but
because we actually did get Oscar screeners. We got
They're doing an Oscar campaign for
it. They're campaigning
for it. It was actually the first one we got.
Yeah. And I will say, there are certain, like, you know, screenplay. Original screenplay was one of the better screenplays of the year. And
just because they have
a
line that
gets
says,
a nomination.
I would love them to show the scene, best screenplay, and have a guy go, your face looks like a vagina. And that would be the line. That'd be the Oscar
best
clip.
Screenplay.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, no, the thing is, I think the reason why I think that they're not actually thinking for Oscar, I think they want like online film critics like us.
Right, they like, want us to nominate it.
Remembered at the end of the year. We'll give them the free DVD.
Oh, how could you forget it? I mean, come on. Yeah. It was a great film.
I've seen Births, and that's it's disgusting as they are portrayed.
Best prosthetic of the year.
Very true, although I'm surprised she shaved that late in the pregnancy.
We're going to a break.
Thank you.
And we are back. And if you're listening to us on the radio, welcome back.
If you're listening to us on the radio, you got to go listen to us
on the internet.
On the internet, because we talk about a cool contest. You can win the Simpsons movie.
Right. If you go to film school, actually, we
got
to
plug it again.
We'll plug it again because one, our 24 season 6 contest is still going. The caption contest, where you can caption the awesome picture of Kevin and I inside the show 24. Just beating on Kiefer Sutherland, which is pretty awesome. But also, we're going to start this weekend a new contest for the Simpsons movie on DVD.
Go to filmschoolrejects.com.
Go to filmschoolrejects.com.
You'll find the contest. And all right, let's move on.
It'll be great.
Fat guy sound off.
Cool. So we're going to sound off now, as we always do. Brought some topics. We're going to roll right through these. So first topic of the week is Heath Ledger is on the cover of Empire magazine as the Joker, looking very menacing. The quote on the front says, and this is from Heath Ledger, he says, he's a cold-blooded, mass-murdering clown. What do you think? Are you guys getting excited about this movie yet?
Yes.
Not really.
Not really? Why?
I mean, I don't get into the hype of these movies. I like them when they come out.
Okay.
Because otherwise, if I get all worked up, I'll be like, then I'll go see it, and I'll be like, man, Heath Ledger sucked, because I would have had this vision of what I would expect him to be. He's not going to meet that. Go, Kristen.
I don't know. I think I'm very excited about it, because I'm just excited to see where they go with it. I'm not saying that he's going to be great. I'm not saying that the movie's going to be better than Batman Begins, but I'm just excited to see that they're making the Joker out to be really, 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 really evil.
My biggest worry is that the Joker is going to be too unlike the comics, and he's so awesome in the comics. It's like, why change it if it's not broken?
Okay, fair enough. Cool. Next one, Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be cast as Joe Namath in the upcoming biopic. There's really not a whole lot you can say about this.
Will he be wearing the slingshot brief?
Slingshot brief.
Joe Namath slingshot briefs. I can't say that. Say that fast three times.
No.
Slingshot
quick.
Briefs, like underwear.
Yeah, he hawked underwear in the 70s.
I don't know.
Is that what he's famous for?
Neil
wasn't around in the
70s.
That's right.
Wow. But I know he was a womanizer, so there might be some...
Is Heath Ledger going to be in this movie?
Wow. Nice. Moving on to... Kevin, this is one of your topics. You wrote an article on Film School Rejects about that Britney Spears and Paris Hilton were ranked higher by a survey of 1,100 2 to 12-year-olds in America, said that Paris Hilton and Britney Spears would be higher on Santa's naughty list than both Darth Vader and Lindsay Lohan.
And Swiper the Fox and the Grinch.
And the Grinch.
So,
wow.
Which, I'm not debating their naughtiness, because, trust me, I think they're naughty, and I'd like to
Paris
see a pictorial
really
depicting
naughty.
This naughtiness. But
together.
Worse than Darth Vader? Worse than Darth Vader?
Darth Vader is pretty bad.
The Grinch, I think...
Darth Vader
I will give you Darth Vader and the Grinch, because they do redeem themselves in the end. But Lindsay Lohan? Why didn't Lindsay Lohan top this list?
Who's naughtier? Though?
And why did what 2-year-old knows who Paris Hilton is? Shame on the parents.
How
for
about
that.
Madonna? She actually stole somebody's baby. Angelina Jolie just
and she ate it. I'm just starting rumors here. It was delicious. That's so I hear.
Fair enough. Next topic is that the pilot of the new Knight Rider series.
You mean
is being
David
shot.
Hasselhoff?
No, David Hasselhoff may
he's
make a cameo.
The
they're saying, but he's not going to be in it. And the new kit may be a Ford Mustang as opposed to the Pontiac, whatever it was.
My thoughts: Pontiac Grand Am, such an '80s car. The new Mustangs look cool.
Yeah,
Kristen? I think it's okay. It's a TV show.
You know, I'm just going to have to wait until I see it, because you know I don't want to buy into the hype.
Fair enough.
As long as they don't like cast somebody like Johnny Lee Miller, says Michael Knight.
Nice. All right, this is a heated one. We've already actually talked about in our internet-only segment about the nude scene that topped the 20 best nude scenes of the year by MrSkin.com. If you don't know, there goes Kevin. Right well, to no, MrSkin.com.
No, because you got to be paid to get on that. I can get the list for free.
Right, so I tell you what, we've got enough time. I can read you the entire list.
We don't have to read the whole list. Just go to Film School Rejects. Read the list.
First one is Marissa Tomei from Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
But this is the first one she did. I think that's why it hit number one. Is that right?
No, I don't think so. She was nude in something else. But the thing that bothered me was...
She pretty much wanders around, through the whole movie.
Right. I mean, and it wasn't just Marissa Tomei in the first nude scene of this film. It was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, that kind of tainted the whole thing for me.
Yes. So, but also on there was Natalie Portman's nude scene from Hotel Chevalier.
Which was lame because all you saw was her tush and, like, her elbows.
And she looked like a 12-year-old boy.
Because you know how many 12-year-old... You've seen so many 12-year-old now, boys here, naked. Is that what you're saying?
Along these lines, though, Kristen, what's your favorite nude scene of the year?
I would have to say Jack Black in Margot at the
Wedding. Margot in the Wedding.
I give her that because... And I said this off the air. I love seeing movies where you have a nude scene where somebody who's an A-list actor looks worse than me naked.
But I will... Some other notables that were on there. Malin Ackerman from The Heartbreak Kid was one of my favorites.
I was into that.
Ava Mendez, the first scene from We Own the Night, which wasn't that long and not
it wasn't all
profound
that,
nude scene. But
no pun intended, it wasn't all that titillating, but it didn't...
It
was intense.
It was an intense scene.
It was.
And then my favorite of the year, though, is Lena Headey from 300.
I'm going to have to go with number four on this list, which was Christina Ricci from Black Snake.
That was a good one.
It was like the whole movie, too.
That was that, but I tell you what, the scene from 300, just the, I don't know, it was just one of the best sex scenes you'll ever see in a movie.
And I do have to take issue with number. Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
It's Gerard Butler establishing his dominance. But the one from Lust Caution.
All right.
The one from Lust Caution actually made it on here.
Really?
It did.
Huh.
I don't know which one, but
I have to take issue with number 10, which is Stormy Daniels and Nautica Thorne from Knocked Up. You can't put adult film actresses as the best nude scene. Because
that's all they do.
You can see, like, everything inside and out. Go to the video store and rent it.
There you go.
Are we going to go to the next topic?
Next topic is...
Have I said enough to get deleted?
Well, no, this...
Bleeped off of Wyoming radio yet?
Can we take a break again?
But the next one is Christian Bale is being rumored as going to star as John Connor in the new Terminator movie, which will also be directed by McG.
Mm-hmm. Michael Bay's alter ego. Here's my problem with the Terminator stuff. It's like it's this like bipolar thing where you're like, they're making another Terminator movie, yeah, and they're like, Vic G's directing it, and you're like, yes, Christian Bale's gonna be in it. I'm just waiting for Tara Reid's gonna be the love interest, and you're going, oh, it's gonna stop. What could be worse?
I don't know.
I like Christian Bale, but...
Yeah, any more of this could be worse. We're going to break. We'll be right back. And we have returned here on Fat Guys at the Movies.
I'm back.
Once again.
Yes.
Kristen's still with us.
I am.
And it's amazing. Some of the stuff we've been saying through breaks, I would have expected her to leave.
I'm pretty tough.
In
really.
A huff.
I was surprised she didn't leave during the pre-show. Honestly.
Yeah. The fact, actually, that's true. The fact that you stuck around during our show prep showed that you had the intestinal fortitude to take us through the whole show.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
because our producer, Richard, left.
And yeah. Even he was offended. And I tell you, whew, that guy's got a tolerance for... He's Kevin's soulmate. Mm-hmm. I really believe so.
Okay.
Anyways, let's review our reviews.
Let's review
and
them.
And go around.
Those reviews.
Neil, your reviews stunk. That's what I have to say.
So we had, what, 5 movies this week? We started with Awake.
Yes.
Which nobody saw.
Because they wouldn't let us.
So it gets...
Suck.
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 There we are.
Wow, that's like the tones. Doom, doom, doom.
Well, yeah, hello, yeah. Hello, hello.
And the next one was Lust Caution, which, Kristen, you were the only one that saw Lust Caution.
Kind of sucks.
Something tells me I'm going to fast forward through a lot of the talking.
Oh. I almost thought for a second you were going to say that you were going to fast forward through the sex scenes.
No, I just get to the sex scenes. That's
fair
the
enough.
Great thing
you're
about
gonna
DVDs.
You're going to do a lot of fast forwarding.
Yeah. I know. Actually, that would actually... Never mind.
You know what I can do on my DVD player on my computer? Is you can play it at like double speed and it keeps all the subtitles.
Really?
Wow.
I have to admit, I do watch some movies that way, but I'm just like, I can't sit through this. It'll take half the time.
Nice. Margot at the Wedding was the next one, and we said
kind of sucked.
Kind of rocks.
I agreed with kind of rocks. And then Juno, I believe, was almost a consensus.
Yes. Rocked.
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 No, you said totally rocked.
Totally rocked.
You
My rocks
to
is better than
rocked.
Yours. Yes. Mm. And then Into the Wild, we didn't give a thorough review, but it's not a movie that requires much thorough explanation. It just plain sucked.
I thought it kind of rocked.
Kind of sucked.
There you go. Awesome. So, next week, what are we talking about?
The Golden Compass. We will find out why the Catholic League or the Catholic Guild or somebody from the Catholic Church
Catholic people not
like this movie.
Fair enough. And
I'm not saying those Catholics, because I don't know what the rank and file, you know, Catholics in this country care even about this.
Right. I think it's just the higher ups.
Yeah. And I think that the they're just making a lot of noise because supposedly the book's atheistic or something like that.
I guess. Somebody tried to explain it to me once and I wasn't paying attention.
And you're like, whatever.
Yep. And we're also going to see Atonement, which is the Keira Knightley Oscar bait. It may make our next Oscar bait list.
I just hope that there's coffee at this screening.
Yep. So if you see these movies and you would like to tell us what you thought, fatguysthemovies.com. You can email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com. You can also go to iTunes, search Fat Guys at the Movies. Or, if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. With that, I am done, Kristen. It's been lovely once again.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin?
Bye.
Whatever. Adios. Let's go do some Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon shit on our surfboards.